Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting, amen, for the month of March. I've been getting a lot of emails from many people, especially from Asia, a lot of Asian emails, and from Nepal and India. And so thank you very much for those emails. And I really enjoy that the home group meeting, the audios really touch hearts and have helped, and I really appreciate that. Amen. So let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us tonight. But before we get into what are the truths for modern times, lesson number 62, let's go ahead and look at what we looked at in 61 and a couple points. There's about three or four points that I would like to look at to get our heart moving in the right direction. Amen. Last month we looked at limitations. Amen. We looked at limitations. Who likes limitations in your life? No? Wow. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that limitations a little more. Amen. The greater our personal liberties, the greater God's limitations on us. So the more we do for God, the more God uses us. The more we preach, the more we teach, the more we do all of these things, the more of those personal liberties to work for God, do things for God, the more God expects us to walk in the limitations. Because limitations in our life bring us to fulfillment and purpose. And limitations, without any limitations, and we're talking about Proverbs 29:18 in a second, but limitations bring us to completion and fulfillment. It brings us to God's plan for our life. Amen? The greater our limitations, then, the greater the freedom God has in us. The more we walk in the limitations that God provides, then the more faith and confidence God is going to have for us. And so, if we can do the things that God wants us to do, and only those things that God wants us to do, then He will have more faith and have more confidence, and He will give us more of His goods to do those things that He wants. So it's not God's not giving me this. It's we are not doing the things that God wants us to do. We're not walking in those limitations. And often we don't get those things from God that He wants us to do. I've often thought, I wonder what it would be like to do everything that God wants me to do. Wow. Holy cow. Well, wait a minute. All I have to do is read the Bible. Look at the Gospels and see Jesus Christ. I mean, He did everything. He only does things the Father told Him to do. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Point number three is, when we move out on our own, in our own direction, we lose correctness. That all goes downhill. When we move out from those limitations that God has for our life, when we move out on our own and we want to do, even in God, when we move out on our own, we lose the correctness, and then after we lose correctness in God, then it's all downhill. It's never uphill. It's all downhill. And sadly, I have seen that happen many, many times in lives. I've had that happen in my life. I want to do something. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And kind of know that it's not what I should be doing, but you know, I just want to do this. Not bad, but it's not what God wants. And then I lose the correctness. I lose the correctness. And the more we can walk in God's limitations, and then we'll be able to move in the correctness that God has for us. Point number four, there can be no vision without limitation. There can be no vision, no godly vision without limitation, because limitations, and not freedoms, but limitations and restrictions bring us to purpose and fulfillment. Not our purpose and fulfillment, but the purpose and fulfillment that God has. And that's the vision that we are supposed to have. So no forward progress. Remember, we are in the wilderness of Kinnebach. And the wilderness of Kinnebach was all about forward progression. And God wanted the children of Israel to go into this forward progression. But if you look at the map, Kinnebach went to the right. And the promised land from Kinnebach is to the left. So there was forward progression, but it was away from the promised land. They moved forward, but they moved away from the direction that God wanted them to go. And why? Because of their lack of limitations. And the last point, there are things God does not want us to mess with. So we must walk in His limitations to be able to see and understand them. There are certain things that God wants in our life, and there are certain things that God wants us to take our hands off of. There are certain things that God does not want us to be involved in. There are certain things that we need to just take our hands off. And I tell you, God has been speaking to me in a couple areas with our clinic in Africa and so many things here that it's just without a doubt, God just wants me to take my hands off so that He could go ahead and get involved. And it's very, very important that I walk in those limitations. God says, I will take care of the clinic. And He just wants me to kind of take my hands off. And the more I walk in that limitation, the more I will understand what He is talking about. Amen? Last month was a very, very important teaching. Amen? If you didn't get it, you can check it out on our website. You can go to www.beholdingtheglory.com. And you can get the audio out there, amen. This month, let's go ahead and look at Word of Truth for 62, and we're going to look at vision. And the verse that we're going to look at here is John 14:10, amen. John 14:10. And this is Jesus talking there. It says, believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And He's talking to the disciples, the people that were walking around Him. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Can you imagine? Jesus never spoke His own words. The word that He spoke was not of Him, but His word, but the Father that dwells within me, and He does the work. So Jesus never did the work on His own. Jesus never spoke His own word, but the word that He spoke and the things that He done, was from the Father. Amen. John 14:10. So that tells me that Jesus must have had God's vision. Because you can't do godly things unless you have a godly vision. You can't do that. And we see church after church, and we see ministry after ministry, sadly, in this world that tries to do good things, but they don't have a correct vision from God. Amen? Vision. Vision is not difficult to obtain. It's not. It's not. There should be no effort made to obtain a vision. The easy way to obtain vision is to stop focusing upon our own will. We will never ever be able to get vision from God, get what God wants in our life, if we are focusing on what we want to do. Just erase. The Father can fill in the blanks, amen? We just got to stop, putting what we want to do. Here, Proverbs 29:18, it's a tremendous verse that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Why are people perishing? Because they lack vision. Well, that word vision has nothing to do with where we're going to be in 10 years, what we're going to do, all this. But not that word vision there, Proverbs 29:18 is limitations. That word vision there means limitations. And so where there is no limitations, no limitations, people perish. It's like if there's no restraint, if there's nothing holding you back from doing whatever you want to do, you will run headlong into whatever you want to do, and you'll probably kill yourself. So many people say, man, if I could just win that, that big jackpot, $970 million, wouldn't that be wonderful? It would probably destroy you. It probably would destroy you, yes. Where there is no limitations or no vision, people perish. And I have seen that all of my life, and you have seen that. And I say it again, that limitations and restrictions bring us to completion in God, and I would say even also out of God. Nor should we focus on the letter of the law, but allow the Spirit to give up life. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says this, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, which is the law, right? Those 613 laws of the Abrahamic covenant, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, Daisy, but the Spirit giveth life. Wow. I have seen that so many times, especially when I moved in the law. The touch not, taste not, you know, feel not, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. And you know, I've seen that that has destroyed so many Christians' lives. All of the laws in the church, you know. I can just tell you that my father was, you know, raised us in church, and he was, you know, always doing things, you know, he was useful and just, you know, loved God. And then we went to this one church, and he became a treasurer in the church, and some money disappeared, and the law killed. It killed my father. He was blamed for it. He did, you know, and my father, he was a lot of things, but one thing, he's not a thief, and he's not a liar. And he was blamed for the money. The pastor blamed him, and he left out of church, and I don't think he ever went back. Ever went back. The law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We cannot fulfill the requirements of the Word of God without allowing God to work in our lives. We cannot be example to the world in obedience unless we have allowed God to deal a death blow to our carnal nature in ways. Now, boy, that statement right there was worth coming for. That, you know, we need to allow God to work in our life. We cannot be an example of obedience to God unless we have allowed God to work on us. We must allow God to work on our lives, open up our heart and show us our heart and take care of those nasty, those nasty character flaws that we have. You know, Jesus died for sin, but he didn't die for our character flaws. God expects us to take care of our character flaws. He does. He expects that, you know. And we can't be the example for God unless we allow him to work on. We must allow God the opportunity to work in our lives. Now, it's going to be painful, but anything that is painful is going to be worth the while. You know, I watched my wife give birth to four wonderful children. And you talk about pain. Wow, wow, wow. And she went through hell on earth. And thank God, you know, he selected women to give babies, because I'm a man and I don't think I can take that pain. But I watched my, and I was there for her. But look what came out after all of that pain. Something beautiful. Amen? Amen. God, working in our life can be painful, but this is spiritual growth and development. People say, well, what is spiritual growth and development? Spiritual growth and development is when we lied and now we don't lie. When we steal and now we don't steal. And it's not something that I can do, but spiritual growth and development happens when God is able to show me that I'm a liar and that I'm a thief and I'm all of these bad things. And then I get to agree with God. I get to confess. Confess means I agree with God. What he's saying about me is true. You're a liar. You're a thief. And then I get to make the decision to repent and move away from that. And if I move away from that, then that's spiritual growth and development. And that's a process that happens all of our life in so many areas. But we must move in that, you know, and allow God to work in our life. Our nature is to take the Word of God and measure the world in the church, our brothers and sisters, by how much they do not walk according to the Word of God. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. Self-righteous, pugnant people will go ahead and stick the Word of God in somebody's nose and say what they are not, instead of look at their life and see what they are. And someone that does that, I always look at that individual and I can see that that's an immature Christian. That's a carnal Christian. You know, there's carnal Christians and there's spiritual Christians. Make no mistake, carnal Christians always torment and always persecute spiritual Christians. But that's okay. We're supposed to have enough God in us to put up with their babiness, their immaturity, and we're not supposed to get all upset. Amen? That's what God expects in our life. But by what they have not received from God, instead of by what they have received. We are to look at somebody that is not very far in the Lord and not say what they haven't got, but look at what they have got and then encourage them in that and help them move on. Amen. If not, the law will kill them. We will kill them and they will walk away. And I have seen that so many times in the church, and I've seen that so many times in lives. If we have not allowed God to kill our carnal nature, our flesh will be alive. Our flesh will be alive. And I'm gonna get kind of deep here in a minute. But if we have not allowed God to kill our carnal nature, then our flesh will be alive. I wrote an article called Our Wicked Heart, and I'm going to be putting that out in a couple of weeks. And it's going to talk about some things, but it's going to talk about our wicked heart. Don't you know our heart is wicked? Jeremiah says it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God can know it, thank God. But I think everybody here is online. You know, that's hard to look at that. It's a really, really good article. Amen. Even the law for the Word of God must be delivered to the world and the church by the Spirit and in love. Even the law from the Word of God must be delivered to the world and church by the Spirit and in love. Just fulfilling the letter, do this or do that, and for the sake of the law, that will kill. There must be understanding of what the Spirit is doing in this situation. I would say in every situation. God oftentimes works outside of what we would say is right and wrong. You know, one thing that I've learned, I've been walking with the Lord while I was saved when I was six. I'm 64 now, and I'm not where I was, where I am now in the Lord all of my life. You know, there's that spiritual growth and development. But one thing that I've learned, that what I call right and wrong, God won't call right and wrong. What I will call right or wrong, God may not call right or wrong. But what God calls right and wrong, that's found in the Bible. So I don't need to know what's right and wrong, or what I call right and wrong is important. What I need to know is what's in the Bible, Kathleen. Then I know what's right and wrong. Because then, oh, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that. Well, God may not, God may have a different view. And then we get in trouble. Amen. What we call sin may not be called sin by God. It may not be. We, you know, brother, you're sinning, sister, you're sinning, you're this, you're that. Well, you know, I can say that all day long, but if God doesn't say that, it doesn't matter what I say, but it matters what God says. Be sure the word you share is delivered in the spirit of love and peace. Sweetheart, James 3:18. Amen. My sweet, beautiful wife is up.
And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Amen. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those that make peace. Now, that is a tremendous verse. A lot of people really don't understand that verse. But that really is talking about people that are ministering, supposed to be ministering life to the church and stuff like that. Because you can't get up and with a militant spirit, or with an agenda, or with some kind of angst in your heart against people, and sow the word of God in peace. Because what you will be sowing, you will be sowing that anger, that angst. You will be sowing that agenda. You will be sowing whatever is in your heart, you will be sowing that. So if we get up and we share the word of God, in our heart there is peace and there's love and there's joy, and we are sharing what God told us to share, then that is what will be planted in the people's lives. So many churches today, they're out there and they have all these agendas and all of this stuff going on, and they get up there and they sow that into the people's lives. I remember when we're living in Germany, we're starting our church, Christian with the Mind of Stuttgart, that a good friend of mine named Joe Pepper, I call him Dr. Pepper, he's probably 85 or so, and he would come by about once a year, and I mean, he traveled, you know, he was in South America, and he started like 40 churches, 20 some Bible schools, I mean, you know, just, wow, it's a mighty man that God used, and he would come by our house once a year, and he would speak in the church, and he'd always get me aside for about an hour or two and discipline me. And it was just wonderful. I used to look forward to that. And one day he said, whatever that I minister, I will see that in the future. And I didn't quite understand that. But he said, whatever I was ministering, in the way that I was ministering the word, I would see that in the future. And what he was talking about is whatever I was ministering, and I would preach, and how I would preach, that would be implanted in the people. And you know what? Whatever's planted grows. And I will be able to see that behavior. And I will be able to see all of those things that I have planted in other people that was in leadership there have planted in the people. That is a very, very scary thing to see. To see attitudes and things in people. And wow. Amen. In God, it does not matter what we do. You know that? But it matters how we do them. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters how you do them. We will be judged by God as Christians by how we do things, not by what we do for God. It doesn't matter if I travel around, I have international ministry, or this or that, or I do this or that. All that stuff doesn't matter. What matters is how we do whatever God wants us to do for Him. How we do it, not what we do. Amen? Remember, sin is to know right, but do wrong. James 4:17, sweetheart.
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is death.
That is sin. To Mr. Mark. I may say this is wrong or that's right or whatever, but you know, it doesn't matter. God says that. God is the one that judges. Amen? And if we know in our heart that that is wrong, no matter if it's a little white lie, or no matter if it's just talking about somebody, or doing whatever, little small things that don't matter, if we know that that's wrong and we do it, then that's the sin. Not the big, murder and adultery and all that. No, I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about those little things, amen? My own words may hinder forward progress. Amen. Remember, wear and pin well. Thank you very much, Daisy. You're right. Little foxes that spoil the vine, right? Not the big ones. Amen. Jesus did not speak His own word. And we saw that in John there. My peace of mind which I give away, my peace of mind which I give away, maybe to my spiritual detriment. So if I get angry and I just, and just say things, it may be to my spiritual detriment. Amen? Take heed to our words. We must speak truth, but it must be in love. We must speak truth, but it must be in love. Earlier, Karen was asking for prayer for Mary, and we've been going through an issue in Karen's family with Mary's son who was in and out of jail, hooked on heroin, Lord have mercy. And so anyways, Karen loves Mary and loves Jonah, and Mary expected a certain response. Mary expected Karen to respond this way. Mary said, "This is what I need. This is what I need. So I expect my sister to respond." Well, Karen responded in great love, but she responded with truth. With truth. Karen gave Mary what she needed, not what she wanted. Mary wanted everybody to go, "Oh, poor Mary, oh, I'm sorry." And Mary's large and in charge, and she's always in control, and Karen didn't do that. Matter of fact, God said for us not to go to the funeral. And so we didn't go to the funeral, and we found out, what was really behind all of Mary's anger was we didn't go to the funeral and all of this stuff. So Karen gave Mary what she needed. She gave her love. She spoke the truth in love, but Mary could not receive that. Amen? Mary could not receive that. Truth is a sword that cuts us from all angles, even the one who wields it. Remember, Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, so that they may grow up in all things. The reason why we speak truth, which will cut you, that sword will cut you, coming and going, we speak truth so that they may grow up. And that's why it must be in love. Because if you speak truth and it's not in love, then people are going to spit that out. And they're going to hate you, and they're going to call you names, and do all of these things. You're not a loving person, and you're not compassionate, and all this good stuff. But in reality, you are, you know. But they just can't receive that. But it's very, very important that we speak truth in love so that they may grow up. So that people will grow up. And that's why we speak truth. Amen? So that they may grow up. Amen. If all of our confrontations in life could be as easy or could be as much under God as it was with Moses in Deuteronomy 2, we would discover a wondrous state of daily victory. Amen? Daily victory. What does that sound good, Mary?
Yeah.
Daily victory. Well, that's what God kind of has planned for us, isn't it? Doesn't He expect us to have daily victory? Oh, well, you have daily victory, but tomorrow, no victory for you. Well, God expects daily victory. It's kind of like up to us, amen? We would discover an easy, interesting fulfillment or increasing fulfillment in our life. If we could reframe ourselves from moving against things and move in God, we would discover an ever-abiding, deep, and satisfying peace. Wow. If we could reframe ourselves from moving against things, and move in God, what God wants us to do, in His limitations, we would discover an ever-abiding, deep, and satisfying peace. What a reward. Again, vision comes from reframing to move out of on our own. Again, vision comes from reframing to move out of on our own. Stand still. And take to yourself the whole armor of God. That's Ephesians 6:13, and that's in the Greek. Stand there, Ephesians 6:14. Do not decide what you are going to do. Do not begin to move in your own determination and your own direction. Do not speak your words. Wait for His. Stand and wait for your directions and wait for your orders. Amen? There's not much to standing. Am I right? Okay, I'm just going to stand here. Have you ever seen a pine tree? We have all these wonderful loblolly pines and these pond pines. And you see those pine trees just standing there, aren't they? And there's nothing going on with that pine tree, am I right? Absolutely not. That pine tree is working, working, working. That pine tree from that half root and the roots, it's lifting up tons and tons of water to the top of that tree, and it's bringing that water back down, and it's lifting and it's bringing. Amen? But God wants us to stand there, just to stand there, and allow Him to do that work in us, just like those pine trees, and wait for His orders. We focus on the, you know, in these verses in Ephesians, we focus on the armor like all of the people did, in Ephesians. But if we focus on the armor, then we will miss those words to stand still. When the children of Israel, when they were crossing the Red Sea, God told them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And if they didn't, well, then they probably didn't see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. While in the Navy, I could not move anywhere without orders. If I changed locations, I had to do it under written orders. Be ready to move, but wait for your orders. If I hear that I'm going to moving to another location, and eagerly we went out our own, not waiting for my orders, I would be in serious trouble with my wife and with the Navy, right? So if I was told I was going to get orders, and Ray, and I'm sure Ray agrees with this, when he was in the Marine Corps, he was waiting for his orders. So if I heard I was going to get orders, you know, I could go ahead and, you know, start doing some things, but I had to wait for my orders, direction to move, so that I could do that. So too in God, we cannot move on our own. I like that too much. I'm going to say that again. So too in God, we cannot move on our own. We are limited to God's directions and limited to God's visions, whether we like it or not. Whether we like it or not, if you want to be a Christian, if you want the blessings that God provides, if you want that fire insurance, if you want all of those things in God, then you have to be limited to God's directions, and you have to be limited to His vision, amen? If not, there are consequences that you will pay. Do not be that eager to do the Father's will. But this is one reason why most do not know the Father's will in advance. You know, if the Lord told you what to do for the next 10 years, you'd run out there and you'd try to do it. But God keeps His cards pretty close to His chest. So when it's time to give me the orders, He gives me the orders. So I have this relationship with Him. Then all of a sudden He gives me some orders. And then I can move and not until. Amen? Because we like to go do things, especially us Christians, we like to go do things for God. Well, when we get out there and we're doing things for Him, we can mess things up. Amen? This is one reason why most do not know the Father's will in advance. Many jump the gun and be out of God's timing and be disqualified from the race until they can wait for the sound of the orders to move. If you've ever seen a foot race, 100-yard dash or whatever, everyone get set, everybody still, ready, and every split second, bang, the gun takes off. If you move before the gun takes off, you're disqualified. So too with God. If we jump ahead of God, if we move out of God's timing, if we move out of the direction and the vision God has for us, we will be disqualified. We are where we are in God today. This is a very sobering statement, but we are where we are in God today based on how we have followed God's vision for us in the past. We are where we are in God today. You are where you are in relationship with God. You are where you are, in God where you are today. It's not anybody else's fault. I can't blame my wife. I can't blame my mama or my daddy. You know, I can't blame Kathy or Eva. I can't blame anybody where I am in God. I am where I am in God today based on how I have followed God's vision and direction in my life in the past. Wow. Some party thoughts. All timing of aerial acrobats have meant untimely deaths. Those acrobats and timing, wow. There has been spiritual and physical death due to missing God's timing. This week, and I guess this will be last week, there was 157 souls perished on an Ethiopian airline. I don't know if you saw that in the... And so this tells you when I was kind of going over this. Ethiopian Airlines. 8 of those were Americans. 7 of those were missionaries. Timing. Were they moving in God's timing? I don't know. But I know one thing. There is consequences. I'm not saying, but there's consequences when we move out of God's timing. A man off of India's island was killed by the natives. Have you ever seen that, Yeah, they said, do not come here ashore or we will kill you. And he didn't listen to them. And he went ashore to share the gospel, try to save him, and they killed him. Moving out of God's direction and God's timing, there is consequences, and we must be careful there, amen? The man of God in 1 Kings 13, 1-24, who came from Judea to Bethel, should have been back in Judea. His untimely delay and disobedience to the Lord in Bethel cost him his life. Be careful with the word that God gives to you. Walk obediently with God, keeping in step. this wonderful walk with the Lord has consequences for our thoughts and our actions. This wondrous walk with the Lord has consequences for our thoughts and actions. Amen. We must stay on track. Getting off track could cost us everything. Could cost us everything. Forward progression in the work of God wants to do forward progression is the work of God wants to do in His children of Israel in the wilderness of Kinneboth. Again, Kinneboth means forward progression. Even while moving away from God's best for them due to disobedience and lack of faith in the wilderness of Paran. Remember, Paran meant glory. They were in God's glory and still they were disobedient and didn't do what they wanted. But God still wanted them to progress in a forward direction in Him. So too, with us, God's long-suffering, even in our failure, but this is not God's best, and we ought to know better, especially the longer that you walk with God. Amen. And yet, just over the hill of sand awaits the next wilderness to receive from God to turn left, to turn left. So they were in Kinneboth, as I said, they kept turning to the right, and that was away from the promised land. And God wanted them to go left, but they didn't, amen. You turn left and possess the promised land. Was there sufficient progress in Kinneboth? The answer to that question is found in the next wilderness, in the wilderness of Zin, Z-I-N, not the wilderness of Sin. So we will be leaving Kinneboth tonight and moving into the wilderness of Zin. Come along. The sand is hot. Tighten your sandals and see what God has for you in the wilderness of Zin. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings. Father, Lord, thank you for this word. Father, Lord God, give us vision, Father, your vision, Father, Lord, not any vision, but your vision, Father, Lord, for our life, for our families, Father, Lord God, for the work that you have called us to do, Father, Lord God. Lord, give us those limitations, place those limitations in our life, Father, Lord, Lord, so that we won't run around and do those things that we want to do, Father, Lord, but those limitations will keep us safe, Father, Lord. And Lord, we'll be doing the things that you want us to do. We will say and do, Father Lord, those things. And we just thank you and praise you, Father Lord, for your vision, Father. Lord, for without your vision, the Bible is very clear, Father. Without your limitations, your vision, Father, we will perish. Lord, let that not be for us, Father. We pray this thing to work for the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.